Today we are going to continue Perek Shira. We're up to Mayim, water. The water sings a song. The pasuk is found in Yirmiyah, Perek Nun Aleph, pasuk Tezayin. Likoil. Likoil means through sound, through a shout, through sound. Tito Hamon Mayim Bashamayim. Hashem, Tito refers to Hashem. Hashem gives, no saying. Hamon means a multitude, an abundance of water in the heavens. So the beginning of the pasuk again summarized, it means through the shout and command of Hashem do the heavens collect water and bring forth water. And furthermore, the pasuk concludes, "Vayal nisiim miktzei oretz," clouds form from the edges of the earth. It's a very difficult pasuk. It's not clear what the pasuk means. It's not really clear why this is a pasuk that this is the song of the song of the water. What does all of this refer to? So, I want to share with you a few short ideas. First of all, in study Jewish history, I shouldn't say ancient Jewish history, in Tanakh, the greatest tefillos were said concerning Mayim. Choni Hamago, go back before that, Eliyahu, there was a drought. Mayim was always something, when there was a drought, that the tzaddikim, all they came together, Eliyahu HaNavi, and they were mispalel. So according to this understanding, the word lekoil refers not according to the simple interpretation. Besides the simple interpretation, it means that Kadosh Baruch Hu gives forth a shout, but it means the sound of tefillah. Is that the song? What is the song of water, of Mayim? Mayim sings when we sing. The water that comes from heaven rejoices. Is that man, human beings, have to pray to give forth their coil in order that there shall be a gathering of liquid in heaven that will come through the clouds and come down to the earth. That really is, that is the pasuk that really defines the whole essence of Eretz Yisrael. It's a scary pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, why are you going to Mitzrayim? Because the Eretz Yisrael is not like Egypt. In Egypt, you don't need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Nile, and the Nile every year overflows, and it waters the land. It's land of irrigation. You don't need the Ribbono Shel Olam. But guess what, Rabbi Yisrael? In Eretz Yisrael, it's a high land. There's no Nile. The only way there's going to be water is if it rains. And if for it to rain, you need man. A man has to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it should rain. Now, without the Koyach HaTzilah, it's not going to happen. It's similar in essence to the mon. In the mon, every single day, we need it to be mispal. The mon should come down. Every single person was different. If at Tzadik, the mon arrived at the front door. A person was a Beinoni, he had to go for a little bit of a walk. If you were a Rosh, a person was a Rosh, he had to go for a very long walk until he found mon. It was an Nisayon. Every single day, you had to be on a spiritual level where the mon would come right to your front door. So that's really what it means. The song of the Mayim is, it appreciates that Lekoil, the voice of Klal Yisrael, when they pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or mankind, not only for Klal Yisrael, when mankind comes to recognize that Mayim, the Shef of Parnasa, is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is when Tito Hamon Mayim Vashamayim Vayal Nesim Mikse Haaretz, through the collecting of clouds through the earth. So it's a very, I think it's a very powerful, the coil is the coil of Tefillah. Okay, that's one idea. Now let me give you another idea. This idea is good. Is a good vart. Okay, I saw this and it made an impression on me, and it's something that you really live with every single day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, we know that Hashem split the Mayim Elyonim from the Mayim Tachtonim. Pasuk Vayad Elokim Bein Mayim Elyonim Mayim Tachtonim. The pasuk says there was a division. And the Medrash tells us that the Mayim Tachtonim complained bitterly to Hashem. It's not fair. Half of the waters have been separated to the heavenly sphere. Now we don't know what this means, because as far as we see, we don't see any water in the heavens. I don't know, maybe there is some scientific understanding of Mayim in heavens where there is.
The Malbim explains why all of a sudden, I mean, there was a kashus bad night.
Yeah.
Because it only rained once every 40 years.
Yeah.
So, So the rainbow was always there, but the clouds were so thick after the mumble, this cloud, this sky, that everything's cleared out of all the moisture that was in it, and therefore, there was nothing obscuring the vision of the rainbow that's always there. And we were able to see the rainbow.
That's the rainbow. But what about there's a mayim and shamayim? What does that mean? There's water in the heavenly spheres.
Water cycle is that.
That's a water cycle. But there's something called...
So you want to
tie shamayim elyonim refers to water that's in our atmosphere.
Yeah. Okay, but...
Okay, there are different interpretations. There are many different what these things mean. But okay, well, on a very mystical and more agadic interpretation, is mayim elyonim, mayim tachtonim, mayim elyonim are close to Hashem. They live in a spiritual world. The Mayim Tachtonim, they're stuck with us. They're stuck in the oceans, the seas, the rivers. They were not very pleased with their neighbors. They complained to Hashem. So what did Hashem say? Okay, I'll make it up to you. One day there'll be a Beis HaMikdash, and in the Beis HaMikdash is going to be a ceremony called Nisuch HaMayim, where they're going to draw a little small amount of water from the Shisin, and they're going to pour this water on the Mizbeach, and it's going to be a celebration, they're going to dance, and it's an avoda, it's going to be a beautiful ceremony, and this should serve you as a pius, an appeasement for being separated from the heavenly spheres. And they were happy. The Mayim Tachtonim was pleased with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gift, appeasement of Nisuch HaMayim. The question is obvious. How much water already do they pour on the Mizbeach? A teeny amount. How much water is there in the world? Two-thirds of the world. Is that the two-thirds of the world is water? Vast oceans and seas and rivers. How often do they do Nisuch HaMayim? Once a year. Once a year, okay, 6 days, 7 days, 8 days, Machlokes and Rishonim, how many days they do Nisuch HaMayim? A teeny amount of water just once a year, only Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kayim. This is the pius, the Mayim Tachtonim. The Mayim Elyonim was entirely, entirely connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Mayim Tachtonim is completely separated, cut off from anything spiritual. And the only pius is a teeny, teeny, tipa shebeya, a microscopic amount of this water is going to be poured on the Mizbeach. Okay, we're happy. Does this make any sense? The answer is, I think he says over the name of Rav Steinman, if I'm not mistaken, I saw this in one of the Sfarim, I don't remember the name of the Sefer, the name of Rav Steinman, is that, they are a piece, because Ein Doimer, the Nisyonos of Hester Ponim, to some powerful Limud Musar, to the Mayim Elyonim. The Mayim Elyonim, let's assume the Mayim Elyonim is equal to all the water in this world. They're all in the spiritual world. Completely removed from this mundane physical world, material world. The Mayim Tachtonim, it's a world of Hester Ponim. It's not obvious that there's a creator. You have to discover it. Yet, the small little act or expression of spirituality is enough to satisfy all of the Mayim Tachtonim. It's an incredible thing. A teeny, teeny tipa shebayam that's poured on the Mizbech, a mokum that's holy, all of the Mayim Tachtonim in this world are satisfied. Because the avoda, the ability to recognize in a world of Hester Ponim, there's a creator, even for one single little second, a speck, that's enough to keep you going forever. What is the Limud Musa? The Limud Musa is most people, 99.9% of the world, most of the day, even the most religious and most observant, most of the day, we're not involved in matters of spirituality. Work, eat, sleep. That's not what you were created for. Created for to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything that we do, 99% of the day, is mamash kineged what you taught in yeshiva, that you're here to serve Hashem, you're here to do avodah. So of course, everything is all part of the process of you're working and you're earning money and you're eating and you're drinking and you're doing all of these things, all that you can learn. But the bottom line is, everything is said and done. it's a very materialistic world. And 99% of the time, I mean, I don't know, I give numbers, we're not involved in the spirituality. It can be very depressing. It can be very, you know, what's the also? The answer is, the one moment that you have a day, or whether a week or a month, where you connect, where you have that spiritual moment, it's worth it all. It justifies everything. Person comes to davening, I think about it, go to davening. Shacharis takes 45 minutes, an hour, somewhere in between, a half an hour. How much of that time does the average person really connect spiritually to HaKadosh Baruch? Unfortunately, not much. Come, most of it is a mitzvah, sanashim limuda. Let's be realistic. Come in, make the brachas, put the tefillin. Maybe every so often during davening, you have that moment, that one moment where you really sincerely pray to Hashem. 45-minute shacharis, maybe there's 30 seconds that you can extract from the 45 minutes. You know, I'm really connecting. I really feel, I'm really being mevakesh Hashem. Those 30 seconds, it's worth it all. It's worth the whole 45 minutes. And for that matter, those 30 seconds, the whole day is worth it. The whole day of sitting in the car for 2 hours, on the train for 2 hours, going to the grocery store, going to sleep, and going to the bathroom, and doing every mundane thing you can possibly imagine, doing the laundry, and cleaning, and doing this, doing that. All of that is worth it for those 15 seconds where you really connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where do you learn that from? You learn that from the Mayim. Because the Mayim Elyonim was separated from the Mayim Tachtonim. The Mayim Elyonim got everything. Complete spirituality. Mayim Tachtonim have nothing. And Hashem says, I'll be Mephias you. We'll take a teeny, teeny little drop of you and we'll put it on the Mizbeach once a year, only during the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash. And the Mayim Tachtonim says, you know what? It's worth it. Because that moment in time that of Matini speck of us justifies everything. It's a very powerful concept. You look
no,
disturbed.
I'm not disturbed. I'm just trying to restate. So you know, it's recognizing what is the ikar and what's the tafel.
I don't necessarily recognizing the ikar and the tafel. It's you need a very large support system for. You can phrase it many ways. Maybe you want to say that way, okay. But it's very true. I mean, at least I feel it. A lot of things that I do are very blah and mundane. You have like a few moments here and there that justifies everything. And that's how you have to look at it. Otherwise, if you don't look at it like that, like then what's it all about? You know, those few moments opens up a whole new world. Everything is worth it for those few moments in life. Someone told me recently, life is all misery with a few moments of happiness here and there. So just take the same thing. Life is mundane, materialistic, with a few moments of spirituality here and there. But those few moments of spirit, just like we find in the world, people, they live for those few moments of happiness. People have, Rachman al-Itzlan, miserable lives. There's a lot of tzaras and agmas nefesh with all. And those few moments in life when they have happiness, they make a simcha, they have a moment of nachas. You see it. You see the poyel people with big, big tzaris. They have those few moments. What are those few moments relative to all the misery they have in this world? It's nothing. But you see how those few moments make
spirituality isn't.
So spirituality is the same. That's how you have to look at it.
Spirituality isn't measured in quantitative.
Okay, so you're saying a different idea. I know, I agree with you that everything is spiritual. Even when you're going to the bathroom, 100%. That's a valid approach. I'm not going in that way. I'm focused on a very simple level, the first grade level. You can't go tell a child in first grade that when you go to the bathroom, you're dealing over here with mice and Merkava in the Beis Akisei. A child in first grade doesn't appreciate that. And the truth is adults don't appreciate it either. Okay? We're not
appreciate it.
What?
I appreciate it.
children, no, we don't appreciate. We're not on a level. We're not in a generation where we appreciate that when you eat, right? They tell you to, when you eat, it's the mizbeach. The table is the mizbeach, and when you eat, it's a korban. Yeah, it's all good. It's all true. I'm not coming to argue, but these are very lofty things, which it's good to know. It's good to think about. But come on, let's be realistic. When you're sitting by your table is a mizbeach, and the food is a carbon, does it taste good or doesn't it taste good? That's what it's all about. That's the world of reality. Okay, again, you have to be careful. You shouldn't talk like that, but you understand what I'm saying. But let's put that aside. Let's take a different approach. There are moments everyone has in their life during the day where they're really spiritual. You come to davening, like I told you, 45 minutes. How many moments of those 45 minutes do you really? Some people, they like Baruch Hu. Some people like Yehi Shmei Rab. Some people like a particular line in Shemona Esrei. Some people like this part of Avodat Zion. It really gets them going, those few words in Avodat Zion. There are moments, and every day it's different. Some days I'm in this mood, some days I'm in that mood. But there are moments. There are moments. And there are moments during the day when things happen. You daven the mincha, you do this, you do that, you make an Asher Yotzeh once in a while. Those moments justify everything. And that all is seen, if Steinman says, in the Mayim Tachtonim. Look at the Mayim Tachtonim. The whole world is water. How much of that water goes on the Mizbeach? Nothing. I'm satisfied. It justifies everything. It's very powerful, Vart. Because it's very realistic. It's very, very rare. It's something you can relate to. You don't have to come on to this hechere in yonim of going to the bathroom. What are you being mekayim? Go to a mitzvah tant, right? You go to a mitzvah tant. Hasidim. Come on. When they dance with the gadol, with the kala, this is the shechina. The kala is the shechina. And the chasen is the kodesh baruch hu. And the mitzvah tanti makasha. Really? Come on. Really? Okay, I'm not being critical. I'm not being critical. But these are hechra in yonim, which is not for the average man. The average man, you have to focus on what you can really, really pick on, and that's how you want for the mayim. So let me give you another idea from that mayim. The mayim, by the way, is a remnant of Torah. That's the haftarah, right? That was the haftarah of this week. Hoy kol tzameh luchul mayim. Haftarah parshas re'eh. Hoy kol tzameh luchul mayim. In mayim ele Torah. And what does it say in parshas Yisro? It says, "Vayhi kol hashofer chozok va'od koilois Torah was given with koilois ubirakim, and there was an anan, the anan of Oshan. There was a cloud of smoke. This pasuk of the Maim is really the song of the Torah. Scary pasuk, and takes on a whole new approach. When the water sings shira, who's singing shira? The Torah singing shira." And the Torah sing l'koil, that sound, the koilos ubrakim, that accompanied when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and it was accompanied with koilos ubrakim, titoy hamoin mayim, was the moment when Hashem gave an abundance of Torah to Klal. Just substitute the word mayim for Torah. Vayal nesiyim mikseh haaretz, and clouds form from the edges of the earth, which means that the entire world, it's a homiletic interpretation of clouds, the entire world paid attention. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah, the birds did not chirp. Nothing happened in the world, at least by the Luchos Rishonis, the first Luchos. The world paid close attention from the edges of the earth to listen to the Hamoin Mayim that was being given to the world, to Klal Yisrael, at the sound of this coil of Koilei Subrakim in which the Torah was given. Okay, another quick idea. I like this idea. The Gemara Brachos Daf Nun Tes says that Godol Yom HaGeshamim Yoyser Mitchias HaNes. The day when it rains is greater than the day of Tchias HaNes. How could that possibly be? How could it be possible? So the simple interpretation is because when it rains, Hashem is listening to the Koyach HaTchilah. When it rains, Hashem is accepting the praise of Klal Yisrael, or praise of the world, and Hashem, that's greater than Tchias HaNesim, which Tchias HaNesim is going to come only from Hashem's will. Tchias HaMeisim is not necessarily something which we bring. Hashem brings Tchias HaMeisim. But rain comes with our participation. Tchias HaMeisim is something which Hashem does, only Hashem does. Geshem is done through our power. We are mispalel. Hashem accepts our tefillah and it rains. Okay, that's one. That's a simple interpretation, or an interpretation. Another simple what? Form of Tchiyas HaMeisim, and it's even greater than Tchiyas HaMeisim. Okay, there are different interpretations.
One of the keys that Hashem didn't give to any man
is Geshem, Mata, is Geshem, correct. Now, there's another idea which is there, and this ties into the Pasuk, is that when it rains, usually when it rains, it's accompanied by thunder. Thunder in the clouds, there's a whole Gemara that talks about why it thunders. When the water, different homiletic interpretations. The waters they collide. The clouds collide. The Gemara says, or the water is poured from one cloud to another cloud. Homiletic interpretation of why there's thunder. But one thing is clear: rain is accompanied by thunder. Thunder is scary. Gemara says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create thunder? Re'emim, in order to straighten out the crookedness in man's heart. That's why Godol Yom HaGesham Yosem B'Tchiyas HaMeisim. When Tchiyas HaMeisim will come, it's going to be too late. It's going to be obvious. The Gilui Shchina Kimayim Chasem Aretz, the revelation of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be so apparent. There's nothing to straighten out. Whatever it is. If you straighten yourself out, it's already straight. If you're not straight out, it's too late. But when it rains, rain comes with thunder. And thunder naturally frightens a person. It causes a person to do tshuva, to straighten out the crookedness of his heart. So that's what it means over here, lekoil, at the sound of the thunder. The sound of the thunder, this is the song of Mayim. What is Mayim here? Mayim is singing Shira to Hashem. Why is it inspired to sing Shira? Because when water comes to this world, it's accompanied by thunder. And that thunder frightens man. And it causes man to reflect on where he stands in relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do tshuva. And he does tshuva. That excites the Mayim. It brings man closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's for this that the Mayim sings Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lekoil, at the sound of the thunder, where Tito Hamon Mayim Bashamayim Vayal Nesim Mikseh Haaretz, that sound of thunder when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings, when he, that is sounded when it accompanies the giving of water, is what the water gets excited about and sings Shiva, because it realizes through the thunder man is doing tshuva. Okay, that's one other idea. Another quick idea. This is a Gemara, just a simple Gemara. The Gemara says the mashal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like man. That we know. When man wants to cook, what does he do? He first puts a pot. Put down the pot, the receptacle, the utensil, and then you fill up the pot with water. Right? He can't pour the water and then bring the pot. If you're going to pour the water first and put the pot, there's no water. It's too late. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first he brings the water, and then he brings the receptacle, the clouds, to carry the water. That's what it does in the Pasuk. Lekol, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shout through his instruction, first, Titoi Hamoin Mayim, Hashem provides water, Bashamayim, and then Hashem, oh, by the way, there's water, what's going to carry the water, what's going to hold the water? We need a receptacle to contain the water, vayal nisim mikseh haaretz, to contain and collect the water. Doesn't make sense. Hashem should first bring the clouds, and then, which are the receptacle, and then pour the water in the receptacle. So the Gemara says, based upon this pasuk that we learn, that midas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu einai kemidas basavdam. Midas basavdam adam sets aside a kedera, and then he puts in the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first he brings the water, and then he brings the kedera to collect the water. What's the limud hamusar? Many people might hear this. Limud hamusar is, what is mayim? Hoy kol tzamei l'chulam is Torah. The world of spirituality operates with its own set of rules. When a person is able, it's very hard madrega, it's not for the average man, when a person is able to live a spiritual life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocates and allows him to exist in this world with rules that defy teva. How are you going to accomplish this mission? How are you going to build an institution of higher learning? It's impossible. The money is not there. The students are not interested. It's just impossible. But if you approach something with an ideal of spirituality, you're not bound by the natural laws of nature. You'll be in a madrega where first comes the water, and then comes the building, and then comes the receptacle to sustain, to collect the water. The midasai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The musr of the pasuk is midasai shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu eina k'midas basam dem. Don't box yourself in. Don't think that you have limitations. If you want to live a life of spirituality, a life of Torah, you're not limited. There are different set of rules. Go try to accomplish what you want, and the Mela, everything else will fall into place. Obviously, this is something which is a little bit dangerous to say. You have to know who you're talking to, and you have to know what you're talking about, but the idea definitely is in the Gemara, and it's definitely very clear in the Pasuk. It's just a matter of us being worthy of being on such an exalted level to have any relationship to this idea. Okay, that pretty much concludes our Mayim.